Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Jesus tells you not to worry about your life, he doesn't point you to Elijah or Moses or other great and holy men in the Old Testament. He doesn't say, look at Elijah, how my father cared for him and fed him with food brought by ravens and multiplied the widow's flour and oil to keep him alive. He doesn't point to the manna that his father made fall from heaven in the time of Moses, or the water that he made flow from a rock. He doesn't point to any miracle at all or any holy man at all. He directs you to the most common and lowly things, to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Because you could doubt whether you match up to Elijah and Moses. You could say, yes, God cared for them, but they were holy men. Will he care for me? But you cannot doubt that you are more valuable than the birds of the air and the grass of the field. And God cares for them. Of how much more are you worth than they? More than this, they are constantly in front of you. You don't go a day without seeing and hearing the birds of the air. At least I hope not. Every morning when I wake up and sit down to read my Bible, they're there, flying and chirping, a constant sign from God that if he cares for them, he will care much more for me. Jesus points to the birds because he wants you to have a daily reminder, a daily sign from your Creator that he will care for your body, that you are far more precious to him than the birds. In fact, the birds serve no greater function than this. It's why they exist, to remind you of your Creator's care for you. You are more precious. You are more valuable. God didn't make man for the beasts, but the beasts for man. And even the pagans, even the Gentiles, even the heathen know this. I'm afraid our pampered society has forgotten it, forgotten the worth of man, the dignity of man. Julius Caesar once saw some visitors in Rome and saw how they coddled and held and dressed and combed their little dogs and their little monkeys. And he looked at them curiously and he asked them whether the women in their country were not used to bearing children. His point was that nature teaches us to value children, that is, value human beings far more than we value animals. And our day needs to learn the same lesson over again. You can get sentenced to a year in jail for a neglect of a pet in California, and that's fine. But there is no penalty at all for killing your unborn child. And soon there will be no penalty at all for letting your child die within the first month of his birth. That's what's on the ballot in California. Jesus tells us to look at the birds and see that they are precious to God, that God does care for the animals, and we should too. It's what it means to have dominion over them, just so long as you're treating them as animals and not as humans. But God's care for the animals is his constant reminder to us of how much more he cares for you. The value of man, of humanity, is beyond words. God made you in his image. He made you in his likeness, the likeness of God. He made you to talk with him. He made you to know him. He made you to rule with him. You are by nature precious to him. And you can object, no, but I'm a sinner. And that's true. And your sin deserves God's punishment and his anger. But that's precisely because your sin, your lack of love, your doubt of God, your worry about your life goes against your very nature, goes against what God made you for and to do, and so denies your worth, denies the worth that God himself puts on you. But God still puts that worth on you. And his son is the guarantee of this. He became a man. How can you doubt what you mean to God, how valuable you are to him, when he became one of your race? When even now, the Son of God who reigns over heaven and earth, to whom we just sang glory to God in the highest, he is one nature with you. He is a man. He is your brother. He cares for the birds and clothes the meadows with flowers. But look, look how he cares for you, O you of little faith. He suffers for you. He bears your sin, and he faces its vanity and its emptiness. He bleeds the blood of God for you, and he swallows up your punishment in his passion to clothe you with his righteousness, with a beauty that far surpasses the beauty of the flowers of the field, a beauty that will not fade like the flower and will not die like the grass, because Jesus lives, and he lives that those who trust in him will live with him forever. That is your worth. So don't worry about your life. Now, Jesus doesn't tell you not to worry at all. He doesn't tell you not to care at all. He tells you to care, to be anxious for, to seek the things that are worthy of your care and worthy of your attention as a human being, as someone made in the image and likeness of God. Because when you do that, God will take care of both your body and your soul. So if you like to be lazy, and some people just like to be lazy, your sinful flesh will take Jesus' words, "Don't worry," as an excuse not to put your ambition into anything, not to work hard, not to do your job well, because Jesus said, "Don't worry. Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, so why should I?" And if you like to work hard, and again, some people do, your sinful flesh will take offense at Jesus' words. What do you mean, "Don't worry"? How do you get anything done without worrying, caring about it? Isn't that what's wrong with this world, with our society? That people are lazy and would rather wear their pajamas and play video games in their parents' basement than get a job? Now, those are the two extremes. And your sinful flesh is very good at abusing Jesus' words. So don't let it, whether you're naturally lazy or you're naturally a hard worker. Lock your eyes on these words, because they are the key to everything. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is no call to laziness. It's no call to indifference and apathy. Remember the Lord's words to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. He says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." That's Jesus. Jesus has no patience for apathy and indifference and laziness. The servant who buries his talent in the ground and says, "I was afraid, and so I just didn't do anything." What happens to that servant? Jesus throws him out of his kingdom. Jesus says, "Seek." And this seeking is a living and an active thing. It is the constant pursuit of the Christian. Now, here I'm going to give you a little lesson in Greek. The Greek word here for seek is zdeteta. You don't have to remember that. We translate it as seek, and that's a good translation. But the Greek command is in the present tense, which means that it is an ongoing command. There's another tense, it's called the aorist, that would mean a one-time command, like do it only once, just so seek it once. But this, in the present, is constant. It means seek constantly. Keep seeking, continue to seek, don't stop seeking. It's as far from a call to laziness or lack of care as you can get. It is to say, care about this, seek this, all the time, every day, always. And what is this that you should be constantly seeking? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus Christ and his word. Seek it every single day. Seek it constantly. And you will find constantly that his righteousness still blots out all your sin and makes you a child of God, so that you are as dear to your Father in heaven as if you were his own child, because you are. Yeah. That's what Jesus does for you. That's what happens in his kingdom under his rule. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, this obviously means go to church, be in church, rid yourself permanently of the thought that you would ever want to miss church. Remember the Greek lesson you just got. Seek constantly. Keep seeking. Continue to seek. Don't stop seeking and see what you seek here. Jesus speaking to you through the man he called to give his own words of forgiveness bought by his blood on the cross. That's what you get here. That's what you seek here. Jesus giving you his own body and blood. This is why we sing, hasten, hasten as a bride to meet him and with loving reverence greet him. Seek him, and he will not fail to give you what all the wealth on earth could never buy. This is the seeking of faith, and it is not lazy. And it extends far beyond coming to church, beyond even reading your Bible at home, beyond praying to the Lord. It's not as if Jesus is saying, believe in me, come to church and read your Bible and pray, and then magically a meal will appear on your table like manna from heaven. And somehow your mortgage will be paid and your children clothed and educated. Just don't worry about it. This is not a call to monkery, to abandon the world and to do nothing but pray and then let others do the work. No, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness means also to do in faith, to act in faith what God called you to do as a Christian. Care about this and everything else will come. Now, the great example of this is Jesus sending out his 12 disciples, which happens just a few chapters after our reading. He says, go. And he says, don't bring a wallet. Don't bring an extra tunic. Don't bring an extra pair of sandals. Go with nothing. And do what I tell you. Preach. Tell the people about me, about their Savior. And everything else will be provided for you. And that's exactly what happens. People invite them into their homes and feed them and clothe them. They do what Jesus calls them to do, and everything else is added unto them. And Jesus promises the same to you. And you see him fulfilling his promise in your daily life. I'll just apply this to myself. He called me to be your pastor, to preach God's word faithfully to you, to love you, to pray for you, to counsel you, and to teach you how to live like Christians, like sons of your Father. And when I care about this, and when I seek it, and when I pursue it, I don't have to worry about money or food, because God gives it. That's what we just heard in our epistle lesson. Let the one who has taught the word share in all good things with the one who teaches. That's what's literally happening here. Jesus' words are fulfilled. Now apply this also to yourself. Care about the things that God has actually called you to do, and everything else will be added. You don't need to worry and fret, because it only causes harm. It's only counterproductive. Simply do in faith what God called you to do, and then wait God's blessing. So are you a mother? Well, God made you a mother. He called you to be a mother, and he tells you exactly what to do in his kingdom, to love your children, to discipline them, to teach them to respect authority and read God's word to them and feed them and clothe them and pray for them. You seek this constantly and God will add all the rest. What a liberating message. Are you a father or a husband? God called you to that. So lead your home in love and love your wife and be patient with her. Work hard to provide for your family. Lead devotions at home. Make sure your family is in church and God will add the rest. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? God made you that, and he tells you what your duties are. To obey your parents, work hard at school, work hard at home, respect authority, and be kind to your siblings. Please, children, be kind to your siblings. Love one another. Do it, and God will add everything. You will see. Are you a worker? Then work hard. Work well. Care about doing a good job. Respect your boss. Be kind to your fellow workers, and God will add everything else. Are you an American? I think you're all American. God made you a citizen of this country, so pray for good leaders and vote for righteous leaders who will uphold God's law, and God will add everything else. Stop worrying about it and do. Apply this to yourself, whether you are a wife or a husband, a father, a mother, a teacher, a son, a daughter, a citizen, a church member, a bachelor, a bachelorette. Live out your calling as a Christian. Seek it. It is righteous. Care about it. and God will add everything else. You will not only have bread and clothing, you will have a good conscience, and you will know that you are worth far more than the birds of the air, that God has called you to far greater things. And when you fail, when you measure your life up and you see that despite all of your seeking and all of your striving, you have not been the perfect father or mother, husband or wife, son or daughter, worker or citizen, or church member or Christian, then keep seeking your Lord's righteousness, because it is perfect and it does cover your every fault. And his blood does wash every stain from your conscience, and his innocence does clothe you with unsurpassable beauty. And his word does send you out again refreshed, knowing you are a child of God and excited to keep seeking to live like it until you live it perfectly in the resurrection. What a wonderful God we have who gives this to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In the name of Jesus, amen.